During these testing times, I found the perfect thing to help me relax and practice mindfulness. Building a Lamborghini. Okay, it's not a real Lamborghini, it's a Lego Lamborghini, but still, you build a Lamborghini, you tell people, especially if it can help find joyful focus in a time when I need it most. Now, before you start, Lego isn't just for children. It's got products designed to challenge adults too, like a Lamborghini, works of art, even skylines from around the world. Now, these types of projects can really give you a well-needed break from the pressures of everyday life. I've lost myself in Lego, the whole building experience, many, many times. While I was working on the 8-speed sequential transmission of my green Lambo, everything else just melted away. They have lots of options for any experience level, so it really doesn't matter if you haven't built with Lego for a while. Search Lego Adults and find your joyful focus.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast, first podcast of the brand new year.
So, we put a bonus podcast on.
Oh, God, he had to ruin it, didn't he?
Oh, man. First.
We put that on the 31st of
Jan.
Oh, he's wrong!
Oh, he's wrong! You're getting all of this uncut.
He's tried to clear it from the line and it's gone in.
Welcome to my world. Don't start checking your phones. No, it would be because
He's VARing.
It was the third.
Oh, my God. Do you know something? Right? Even if Big Si was wrong, yeah? You've got no business doing that. You know he gets the raging hump when you do things like that, so don't even bother.
He's like the Mike Dean of radio.
Just suck it up!
Yeah.
Sniveling little tick.
No,
honestly, how dare you? First of all, challenge me, and then when I look to Big Si, and he's obviously trying to bail me out just so I can maintain some sort of sense of authority, yeah? You decide to undermine him even more. Frankly, it's like the cabin boy steering the sodding ship. Honestly, genuinely awful person. Sorry, guys. I'll carry on. I mean it, though, Simon. I do mean it, though, Simon. Completely undermined him there. So, first podcast of the year! In terms of from shows, not a bonus thing.
Oh, yeah.
First genuine podcast of the year. Which actually meant you shouldn't have brought the subject up in the first place, Simon.
God, he's really, really embarrassed.
God, he's really embarrassed. He's let us all down. Mm-hmm. I might call his wife. Do you know what I might do? I might actually genuinely call your woman.
Your good lady wife.
I might call your good lady wife, M, who actually is a really decent person.
She is surprisingly
She's
decent.
She's full of the milk of human kindness.
That's right, yes, unlike little Simon.
Yes.
He's a cold
character. And a tanner for his arse. We've got 20... Anyway, let's not get distracted by him, Gab. We've just got to move on. We've just got to put him behind us.
Mm.
Coming up, we've got 25% of one of my favourite bands on the show this week, 25% of Kings of Leon. That is the bassist Jared Followill from Kings of Leon, who Dan has got a man crush on.
Has he?
Yeah, he said it on his show.
Oh.
He was giving us a billing, because he was appearing on Thursday's show, so Dan was really selling us. He says, that's the one I've got a real crush on.
See, Dan cuts his hair like Jared, doesn't
he?
He does. Kind of follows him.
Listen, there is so much more to Dan O'Connell than we dare to know.
I reckon he's got a Jared, one of those little rooms.
Is he still trying to be an influencer, incidentally?
I think he is.
Because that amused me for ages. Hey, I'll also be bringing you all the latest panda news. Bad week for China, I'm afraid. Right. Not often you hear me say that. And the Woodman has a French inventor from the 1880s. Putting you through right now, sir, in his heroic little slot. Enjoy. Still chime for you, would you hold, please? Do you want to hold? I'll keep chime
Stop
for you.
It.
Sorry.
Radio X.
Happy New Year, everybody. Hope you already had a good enough Christmas. Mine was just not like any other Christmas, and fairly. And I was having to really use self-discipline to stay away from the wine early.
Yeah. It's an issue,
isn't it? No real reason not to.
My issue was that I couldn't stop eating either cheese or chocolate.
Yeah.
And there's no fibre in each.
There's none. Neither can do you much good. Hey, overall, though, not too bad.
It was okay, yeah.
Actually, fine. Gav, you're such a liar. You had a better time than ever because you weren't forced to go out anywhere. I know you're a real homeboy who just loves nothing more than just slobbing about doing absolutely naff all at home.
It was all right, yeah.
It was all right. You had a great time. You had a great time.
I did.
Little Si, how are you? Brilliant. A Big Si's fine as well. Right. I tell you, a couple of bad things over Christmas. Well, first of all, I really enjoyed Jules Holland's Hogmanay. Oh,
I didn't see it. Was it good?
But yeah, it was really good. It was actually quite weird how it was about the only thing I saw that made me, reminded me of years gone by and put me in a place.
Okay, right. Yeah.
I like that show. I always like that show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, suddenly, they decided at the very end, I know, we'll have Alicia Keys on.
Really?
And what we'll do is, no, she won't sing any of her own stuff. She'll do a couple of covers.
What, with some honky-tonk piano?
It was literally, no, it wasn't honky-tonk, but it was literally, shut your eyes, and you just got, like, the worst night of karaoke. You know, the point about it is Alicia Keys is, it's her own tunes, her own stuff, but yeah. She was just singing. It was just, Gav, you got to go and look back at it.
It did her or the song no good.
No, it was just, it was like everyone was going, oh, no, but it was Alicia Keys doing it. It doesn't matter. It's still got to be good.
It has to, yeah, yeah.
You can't just say, yeah, but it was her singing Last Christmas. So it's a real... It doesn't matter if it's out of tune. It's Alicia Keys. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was just thinking, Alicia Keys slayed. Alicia Keys slayed.
It was nice to know Alicia Keys, you know, when she's not singing her own, she's as crap a singer as the rest of us, is what it showed us. The other good thing is, that this is in The Sun I read today, is that Loose Women won't have any hosts left.
What?
If they keep quitting. So that is something that should send us into the new year.
That's lightened the load a little bit.
No, it has, actually. Yeah. I felt really quite pleased about that.
Less to worry about.
Yeah, less to worry about. Year, all we've got to do is get rid of Steph off Channel 4 and we'll be laughing. What's that lot of rubbish? Queers the pitch for live television forever.
Yeah.
Gav, the other thing that was quite weird is today.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, I needed a real cold weather boot.
It went cold, didn't it?
Yeah. It went cold. So I've had to move, do a lot of shoe moving around.
Yeah.
But I managed to find my trusty old Red Wing London boots that I bought 28 years ago for the first TV series I ever did. And they still function. So I was just showing them off in the office to little Si. You know, I was trying to impress the easy, you know, the junior.
Sure.
Look at those. I go, look at those, Si. 28 years I've had those. Sounding like my old man. And Gav starts going, yeah, but what were you saying?
I said, well, you only bring them out, you know, for the dozen worst days of the year.
But he was saying, I haven't really, it's not, that doesn't mean they're, I've had them 28 years. And sometimes,
it is impressive, yeah.
But sometimes I wear them a lot. I wasn't expecting anyone to start going, yeah, but.
I don't see you wearing them with shorts in the summer, for example.
No, I don't put them on in the summer. Yeah, they are for a limited season only. I'm sorry I don't expand it into the water. It's a big, heavy boot. I don't know what am I meant to expand it into.
I am impressed, because you have had them for 28 years.
No, it's great, but none of that was verbalised before the show. All I got was you and Little Simon. Then Little Simon started sneering. What did you say?
You clearly garage it, you know.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Hang on a second. He didn't say that before. What do you mean garage them?
Clearly garage them.
Yeah, they are put away, aren't they?
Can I just tell you something? No, don't feel suddenly you're getting all strong because you've got Gavin around you. It's pathetic.
Big size hoving interview now.
No, Big size coming in there. He's probably going to start writing abuse on his... Look, all I said was I've been wearing these shoes for 28 years. I was expecting some sodding applause.
Well, I thought you'd at least resold them once, but you didn't.
I haven't resold them.
Oh, unbelievable.
Anyway, 83936, if you've got something that you keep slightly garaged, but it definitely does come into play and you're quite proud of them as well, all right? Mm-hmm. I want Garage clothing pride, please.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Guys, you know, I believe there's just us in this universe. And,
yes.
And my theories stem from it's just the chance of coincidence so slim.
Right.
Of anything actually, if there is any life out there, the chance of it coinciding with us, given the vast scale. The tapestry of time we're up against, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of time, distance, and speed. It'd be impossible. But wait for this. You ready?
Go on.
A strange interstellar object that shot past the Earth in the autumn of 2017. Do you all remember that?
No.
No, I don't either.
No, I don't remember this.
No. Why didn't it flag up?
And what do they mean by strange?
I don't know, with all the crap that they put in the star, you thought they'd have got the real one in there.
Tell us about the probing. That's what's worrying me.
Okay, I know. It may have been a buoy, that's B-U-O-Y, buoy.
A buoy.
Floating in space by an alien civilization. This is a Harvard professor. This isn't some guy from the Hutchinson Institute or someone you've never heard of.
Clearly.
It's not clear. It's anything but clear.
It's not clear.
Clearly the Egyptians were aware of time travel. No!
No, they weren't.
Is this a portal to another dimension?
Did they play snooker?
Yeah. Did the aliens play snooker with longer queues than
it's
we're...
It's highly likely, we believe.
With longer queues than we're used to.
These and other questions will be asked and not answered in this documentary.
Or is this line in the sand the mould for a giant snooker queue used by ancients?
They should do a whole series on that. Yeah. Ancient snooker.
To help them put the pink to bulk.
Dennis Taylor hosting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Go on.
Avi Loeb, a theoretical physicist who was chairman of the university's astronomy department, co-authored a paper in 2018 suggesting the long, thin object known as Oumuamuumuumu. That's what it's spelled like.
Okay, I believe you.
Oumuamuumu, in case you thought I just let one go in the bath. Oumuamuumu. It's called, all right?
Yeah.
Oumuamuumu. Yeah, Oumuamuumu. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's fair enough. That's quite simple.
Oumuamuumu. Yeah. It may have been a probe sent towards Earth. A probe? Did you say probe?
It's a key word that makes people sit up and listen for
really
some reason.
When you're being probed, yeah.
Yeah.
He's written a book, Extraterrestrial, in which he suggested it could have been a thin disc-shaped sail powered by starlight that was once part of a vast communications network. If we're expecting the bang of gravity-defying ships on the horizon, do we risk missing the subtle sound of other arrivals? He says.
Oh,
I'd never heard of this thing, had you?
No. And why is it in the past? Why isn't everyone freaking out about it?
Can I just say, this guy's writing this book, but...
Yeah.
Without... he sees it as a buoy resting in the expanse of the universe and our solar system. A team of scientists concluded in 2019, I don't know if you want to take this seriously, It certainly won't stop them on ancient aliens, this sort of stuff.
No, of course, yeah.
There is no compelling evidence whatsoever in favour of the alien explanation. That's not going to stop them on that show.
No.
Believe me. They'll just tie that in with they'll just pull out a heavily redacted sheet of typed paper. Sort of, just to prove it all. Just to make it their case even clearer. Look, here's something that...
Many questions haven't been answered.
Look at that, there's 8 nouns left on there and a pronoun.
Hello, my name's Craig Doyle and this is The Contact Book, the show where we look back at the life and times of our guests with a little bit of help from those who know them best. As we navigate the highs and the lows of their lives, we have access to their contact book and call those who lived through the experiences with them. It's awkward and it's endearing in equal measure, and the truth behind all those tales will be revealed. So please do subscribe to the contact book on Global or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much for joining us for a brand new year right here on the nation's favourite station.
Nice.
It's all right.
The nation's favourite station.
It's unquantifiable.
I like that.
On the nation's
favourite
station.
Yeah, yeah. Prove us wrong.
Yeah.
It's very confident. I like it.
I'm Johnny Vaughan on the nation's favourite. Peter, so I think if you were to ask anyone what the UK's favourite station is, that'd be Radio X.
Oh,
I mean, not many people listen to it.
No.
But it is the favourite.
Oh, yeah.
I'm TJ, the nation's favourite. You listen to TJ, the nation's favourite DJ. Radio X, the big X. Going it alone with my own marketing strategy.
Just go with it.
A rogue marketeer. Yeah, John, these aren't claims we've in any way sanctioned that you're not allowed to say things like that.
Just add the word probably. That's
Britain's number one. The nation's number one. Let's make up our own jingles as well with those really harmonious jingles.
With huge...
The nation's number one. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Radio X. Yeah?
Radio X.
Now, as you know, we don't really do guests on this show. We've had about 14 guests, 4 of which have been Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
Because he's someone we're willing to make an exception for, as are most wrestlers.
Right.
But we will make exceptions if a guest has got a big announcement. So without further ado, would you please welcome 1/4, 25% of one of our favourite bands and one of the world's biggest bands. It's bassist Jared Followill from Kings of Leon. Hi, Jared.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Happy New Year, Jared.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Okay, you're rolling with the 4 till 7 thing on your Radio X. Thank you so much for joining us. How was your Christmas and New Year, Jared?
It was great. It was obviously a little bit different, but nothing to complain about down here. It was really nice. Got all the presents we wanted.
Okay, well, that's really good to hear. I didn't get anything. What did you get for Christmas?
Just silly little things. And yeah, we kind of just have like a small, like immediate family thing too, but I got a PlayStation 5. That's the only thing I really have.
Get in
for.
There!
Ow!
And what are you playing? Oh, yes! Oh, yes! What have you been playing?
I'm not really good at electronic things, so
I'm still
waiting to set it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, it's awful. But I think I got like some sports games, Madden, FIFA, maybe. I think I got a Call of Duty that I'm going to jump into.
Like you, I'm not at all a techie. I just like golf, the bass guitar, and my new baby.
Wow, that sounds exactly like me.
Go on.
I was laughing. Sorry, I've got a really weird laugh.
Okay, well, it's a laugh that sounds like you just cut out. how brilliantly handy! I'd like to see one of your recording sessions. Just all laughing together, to see, and then suddenly goes, Jared. You go, no, sorry, I was just laughing.
I've got a silent laugh.
That's a great name for an album. That's a lovely name for an album.
Great name for a band.
It's a good name for a band, yeah.
The silent laugh.
The silent laugh. Oh.
Side project, the three of us.
Well, Gav, fun enough, I'm no slouch with the vocals, and Gav is a fantastic guitarist. So if ever you need to get together with We Are Silent Laugh, 1, 2, 3, 4.
We give you permission to join us, Jared.
I'm in. Jared, can I just ask you, what would be your favorite ever bit of bass that made you want to play the bass?
There were a few that really, when we first started, they kind of threw the bass on me because that was the only instrument left.
Yeah, that's the bass's story. That's the classic bass narrative.
Exactly. And I mean, it's a naive kind of way of thinking because it ends up being one of the coolest things.
Yeah.
But there were a few that kind of sold me. And Kim Deal from the Pixies, I remember a song called Gigantic.
Yes.
That really struck me. And then very early days, the Strokes album came out, and the first song on the album, Is This It? That bass line, I was like, okay, cool, I'm in, I'll play bass.
Have you, I tell you what got me into playing the bass, since you asked me, I'd say, have you heard, when I was a kid, I just used to, I blew up my dad's speakers, putting my bass through his hi-fi on, do you know Hanging Around by the Stranglers?
I don't think so, and that's embarrassing, because I'm pretty good with music.
They're my favourite British band of the kind of new wave era with the Stranglers, just because the bass is so powerful in it, played by a guy called Jean-Jacques Bernal, who's a legend. But if you listen to the bass of Hanging Around, and I just used to fantasise that I could be live, I'd be on stage just doing that, just doing it.
I'm downloading it right now.
Okay, download that, absolute gem.
Love it.
Okay, that was just banter, us getting to know each other. Jared, I think it went well.
I think so. Yeah, I could go for another round.
I feel comfortable with you.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I mean, we're in a band together. We should.
Hey, yes.
Let's not fall out yet.
Yeah, silent laugh.
Yeah.
We are silent laugh. 1, 2, 3, 4. You haven't released any new material since 2016. But you've been teasing. There's been a sense that you've got some new tunes coming out on the socials for months.
Yes.
Now, you said you could only be locked down. Obviously, when you're sort of locked down at the moment, you're only allowed to see close family members. But for you, that just means, you know, play on, said the band.
Exactly. Yeah, we're in a weird situation where, you know, our family and our close bubble that we can quarantine with happens to be everyone that we work with.
Yeah. Yeah, right. How handy. So, 2016, since you last had anything out, what made you decide, really, all of you, right, it's about time we did something?
I think that we all just kind of wait for our creative batteries to kind of recharge themselves naturally.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you release an album, it's a long, long process of, you know, press tours and then obviously tours, playing shows and doing all that stuff. And then you kind of need a little bit of rest after that. So we felt like it was time And then, you know, as we're really getting into it, the world turns upside down. So it would have been out a little bit sooner, obviously, if, you know, there was a little bit more certainty out there. But we just felt like it was time for us to make music. And then, you know, everything kind of just went on pause after that.
Okay. And when you sort of, because you're in this band, obviously with your brothers, well, two other brothers and a cousin, do you sort of look at the band Oasis as like an inspiration for what not to be?
No, I feel like Oasis is one of so many bands that have brothers in it that
yeah.
just turn out to be a terrible situation of fighting.
Yes.
We kind of knew going in that being in a band with your brothers is not a great idea. But we didn't really have any other friends, so we decided to go on with it. And we thought it would last for at least a couple years, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, it's gone on for more than that, as indeed has the absence of new music from you. It's been a while. This is new from the Kings of Leon. I love the fact that already I can imagine myself announcing this for years to come, and it just sounds so like a Kings of Leon record. It is called The Bandit, which is exactly what a tune by your mob should be called. Let's have a listen, and then we'll come back and talk to you.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
The Bandit, Kings of Leon, first time, Radio X. New from Kings of Leon. That was The Bandit, right here on Britain's favourite radio station, Radio X. Gav, do you enjoy that?
I loved it. And you're right, it's got a brilliant name.
It has.
The Bandit.
It's just perfect Kings of Leon stuff. It could have been written by them. Jared.
Yes, sir.
We're just saying it could have been written by you lot. It's so Kings of Leon.
It was.
Oh, right.
God. It was. We don't have a writing group yet.
No, you definitely need that.
That's so un-rock and roll, imagine.
Do you know what I'd love Kings of Leon to do a version of?
What?
I'd really love it if you did a version of Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. Yeah? but wait. And you just sang exactly the same lyrics.
Yeah. Just say I Kissed a Girl.
I liked it. I liked it. I hope her boyfriend doesn't mind.
It would just be the most obvious song ever.
Yes, yeah, it's just really, like, but that's it.
It's just honest, you know?
Yeah, right. I hope, yeah. Anyway, I take it you're not doing a version of I Kissed a Girl on your new album, but tell us a little bit about any sort of forthcoming album, what might be on there. Please do a version of it, incidentally. I'd love that.
we'll put it on the agenda for sure as an idea.
Okay.
But, yeah, the album comes out in March, and it's something that, you know, we couldn't be more excited for people to hear, just because, you know, obviously we've been sitting on it for a second, as you said, and just kind of like basically in a small purgatory of you know, like not knowing when anything is going to get back to normal and when people are going to be able to hear it. But
right.
We are unbelievably excited about it. We've never worked harder on an album, and I don't think we've ever been more proud of one.
Oh, that's... Oh, man, the promise. Jared, lovely to have you on the 4 till 7 thing. Please listen to the Stranglers hanging around. Just really enjoy
it. I'm doing it right now.
Okay, and also...
I'm in the car connected to Bluetooth.
Okay.
So because my infant slobbered on my phone and ruined it.
Okay.
So now I have to do all interviews for my car through Bluetooth, so I can put it on my incredible speakers right now.
Okay, let's hear it then.
go put the Stranglers on, Jerry.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could stay on the call and play it.
Oh, of course you can't. But I love this. Yeah. Jared Followill plays the Stranglers in his car. A new album. A new concept in music. A new concept in music. Jared, thank you so much for talking to me. You send my love to the Followill clan. Do say Happy New Year to all your family from us here at the 4 till 7 thing. And thank you so much for joining us and giving us the Bandit, which is great.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Take care. Bye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Kirsty Gallagher, and on my new podcast, Strip Back Sport, I'll be talking with the greatest sports stars of our time, including Maro Itoje.
I play my best rugby when I'm like energetic, when I'm loud and I'm confrontational. It's a bit of an emotional roller coaster, but it can be done.
So please do subscribe, rate the podcast and give it a 5-star review. And keep listening every Monday morning for a new episode of Strip Back Sport with me, Kirsty Gallagher.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
So Edinburgh Zoos, I always demand, my only demand of the People's Republic of China is, you know, I'm a massive fan on that super state.
Mm.
And indeed, Xi Jinping, who I believe is just the most extraordinary world leader, given what the Chinese put his own family through and how he's able then to go back in there, become leader from a family tainted, a tainted family name, and go back in there with utter belief in the People's Republic and indeed the power to change. What a man. But the policy on using like rhino horn and this ridiculous, I call it Beijing quackery.
The panda leasing arrangement.
No, I call this Beijing quackery, which is I suppose descended from the Peking duck used to get.
Right.
Heads Beijing quack is the modern version, which is these sort of potions and lotions made from very rare things around the world, like tiger genitals.
Yes.
Right. And just very, it's always something very rare that seems to have to be, the whole thing's got to be killed to get a bit of it.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, we all have massive respect for the Chinese, like the pandas, for their creatures.
Yeah.
A huge result.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So we lease out these pandas, $1 million a year, $600,000 extra if they have a litter. Every single time they have a little pandalet, you have to pay out another $600,000. You rent
That's
them.
Mad, isn't it?
You rent them. And all I ask is that it's a shame they don't sort of have the same respect
for other countries' animals.
Right, right. Yeah, there's not sort of people going off to China hunting pandas because they want a rare claw.
Very good point, yeah.
You know, and just leaving them there because they just want the ears.
And just saying, yeah, but to me, it's just the ears.
Yes, to me, it's just the ears.
I have the ears
with my cornflakes.
Yes.
And it means that I'll never lose my hair.
They just go well with chips.
Yes,
that's just the way it is. Yeah.
Because it's very good for success.
That's right.
Apparently, panda paw.
I wanted more children.
Yeah, panda paw is, no, not even, that's too. You quantifiable gap.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
It's just things like success.
Yes.
Will make me seem grander, you know, somehow. Anyway, bad news. Bad news, guys, because Edinburgh Zoo's giant pandas, and when they say giant panda, that's a panda, incidentally.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no mini ones.
No. No, well, no. What I mean is Edinburgh Zoo hasn't got something special. It's not giant. They haven't got, just because it's Scotland, they haven't got one that's like King Kong.
30 feet tall.
Yeah, like a King Kong panda that's going...
Now that's worth
$1 million.
Yeah, I'd like to see that climbing Edinburgh Castle, yeah.
But is that a giant panda, Dad? It's just a panda, right? They like the word giant there. Again, it's about selling, isn't it? It's canny Chinese marketing.
Yeah.
So, Edinburgh Zoo's giant pandas may have to go home next year. They've got a 10-year deal with you. They've been leased from the Chinese government because of financial pressures. They probably go home and just turn them into soup anyway. they've had the best 10 years out of it. So £10 million, that panda.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you wonder why anyone's in the puppy farm game, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there should be a transfer market.
There really should be, Gav.
Really,
you've got a particularly good breeder.
He's a lovely little panda. He loves the zoo. He loves just eating bamboo. He's a...
exactly right. He's good chewer. He likes to chew. He likes to procrastinate. He likes to ruminate.
Yeah.
He's good at ruminating.
That's right.
He's a lovely little ruminator.
Very sociable.
Very sociable. It costs about $1 million a year to lease a mating pair. So it's actually about $600,000 each panda.
Right.
But the thing is, Gav, they've all got to go back to to China.
Yeah.
Well, that means it's all over the world. Suddenly there's going to be loads of pandas turning up in China.
Oh, it will be like
they've never had to handle that.
Maybe they'll organise.
I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what there could be a whole zoo of pandas.
Yeah, like a whole ship.
But the whole point is, there's a panda. The Chinese people just get used to them.
Oh, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere now. And then you know what's going to happen next, don't you?
Panda pest control.
No, panda soup, Gav. Panda soup, mate, is what's going to happen next. They got. I tell you what, there's no room for sentiment in China, believe me. It's like Stamford Bridge.
Radio X.
Gav, let's have a hero.
You're the best.
Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Clément Ader.
He's a French inventor, right?
That's right. What he did in 1881 is he invented on-demand listening.
Did he?
So he invented a thing called the teatrophone.
I thought you were talking about the on-off switch.
No, but okay. What it was as phone exchanges were being set up in the 1870s.
Spit it out, Rudman!
This is a service where you could dial your those old-school phones with the separate earpiece.
And get radio?
No, you could dial in and you could be put through to a theatrical performance.
It's like a podcast.
It is. Well, it's like Spotify. It really is.
Yeah, well, ish.
So someone at the other end would hold on. That church services they used to do, they did it in London in 1894. A Mr. Booth formed a similar, and it was a subscription service. They had 600 users by 1908.
Spit it out, Woodman.
And this was for people to be patched into church services and also someone who would just read you the newspaper.
What a treat for children.
So this is on-demand streaming service
well, that would keep
in 1881.
How about that?
Isn't that amazing? So by 1925, it was out of business. Do you know why?
Right.
Radio.
Yeah, radio. Yeah.
Radio. Now, we've got the same challenge, John.
Yeah.
So I think we should do it again.
What?
Let's see off the streaming service.
Yeah, we can see off Spotify, all the other radio stations, podcasts.
All of them.
Download services, CDs. Incidentally, Gav, like I said earlier in the week, CDs.
Yeah.
Sales of CDs dropped by a third last year.
That's mad, isn't it?
Well, there's any sales at all.
Any at
it's insane.
All. I get vinyl, but yeah,
no,
CDs.
Vinyl's up. And also, guess what else is up?
What?
Cassettes.
You're joking.
No, cassettes, the big mover last year.
Wow.
I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, anyway, he was way ahead of his time, Clément Ader.
Clément Ader, Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7 thing, salutes you. If there's any kids listening with the whole cassette thing, don't do it! Honestly, don't go that way. There's only pain. Yeah. Believe me, there's only pain.
They're good
that
for
way.
The first, 6 months? They sound great.
No, there's just...
Then they start getting hissy.
Just don't. Hang on, I'm just fast-forwarding. Hang on. Just don't do it. Radio X. Hi, TJ and the Thang Gang. I've been listening to the show for a couple of years. I'd love to know the etymology of cheese salading. I even started listening from the first podcast. Try and find out.
Whoa.
I've managed to do it. It's really simple. I was in Paris on a stag night. We went for dinner. At the end of dinner, we've all ordered a nice chocolate pudding. It's chocolate mousse. Except for one of the chaps, Jim, who's decided to order a cheese salad, which he was really mocked for.
He got a round of
right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, chocolate mousse not good enough for Jim. Anyway, about a month later, I'm round at my mate Ed's house. Ed's having a barbecue, and he's got some chocolate pudding. And my mate Jim, the one who ordered the cheese salad, is also coming round to join us for the barbecue.
Right.
So, because I've seen there's a chocolate pudding, I make a little cheese salad for Jim.
You've spotted an opportunity, yeah.
Because like, he's a practical joker. I don't normally ever put any preparation into stuff. You know I'll teach. I'm fast and loose, you know.
Sure.
It's quite spontaneous. Anyway, so this is quite unspontaneous for me. So I make this cheese salad, sling it in the fridge. Anyway, at the very start of the... When we start the barbecue, Jim's there. Ed decides to bring the cheese salad out just at the start, like a starter.
Before the chocolate pudding at the end of the meal.
He just puts the cheese salad down in front of Jim, and Jim's like, what's this? And he goes, Vaughan, he thought it'd be quite funny if he had a cheese salad. I go, no, Ed, at the end.
With the pudding. Ed.
And even Jim said, and now you've ruined his joke. And everyone was shouting at him. So, to cheese salad is to ruin someone else's joke. Or to take a perfectly good story that someone else could tell easily and ruin it. But essentially, cheese salad is to give away the punchline like a spoiler before it's happened and to completely destroy someone else's joke. Gav is like savant cheese salad. It's like it's in his blood. So I hope that explains it to you. You know what? Small business owners have always worked really hard, like a kind of salmon swimming upstream. But the stream, yeah, that's Niagara Falls. And these days, they have to work even harder to get up those falls. Anyway, Barclaycard Business are there to suit your changing business needs. That's the point. Whether you're taking payments face-to-face, I don't know, online or phone, whether you're moving your pet shop online or shifting from in-house dining to a takeaway, make accepting payments or moving payments online the easier part of adapting your business with a reliable, flexible, and helpful payment provider. Barclaycard Business. Take every payment seriously. Search Barclaycard Business.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
So today I've had to go for to see the physiotherapist because I've got what you can now call box set shoulder.
What? What's that?
It actually means I'm suffering from frozen shoulder from sitting for so many hours in front of a telly with one arm.
Oh, so it's not from watching the box set of Frozen?
No. I've got box set shoulder.
Right.
And I spoke to the physio. He's a very old friend, very old, dear friend of mine.
Sure.
As you know, every single professional I go and see is a dear old friend. My doctor, my dentist, my physio, they're all dear old friends.
Dear old friends.
You've got to get like that in life.
Yeah.
So you've got their home number and you can just get through. You've got to get like that. And they really don't mind, these people.
No, they like it.
Anyway, Gav, I've gone to see this physio finally. You know me. As he said, English people are the worst. English men are the worst to treat. He's what he
says.
Well, Sir Anthony said today that because they won't go until it's much too late.
Yes. They don't want to complain.
If you've got shoulder trouble now and it's only in one direction, go to see a physio before that gets global and you suffer.
You can't move in two or three directions.
More than one, then it's global.
Right,
you get a frozen shoulder. If it's starting to give you jip, go along straight away. Don't be all English about it. It won't get better by itself, or it might do after sort of 2 years.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, same with the mental health stuff we're pushing as well. Don't leave these things to build up and be all English about it. I didn't realise what such a disease it is. He said Japanese people in there, they go in there really quickly. They'll go in there at drop of a hat for a massage, but a bit of a physiotherapy, but they don't even think he's doing anything unless it hurts.
Right.
Well, they're just skeptical. They just don't see the point. Unless they're in agony going,
You're thinking of shiatsu. That's the acupressure massage.
I don't know what, but he's so good, to Anthony is, that he just touched this point on the back of my shoulder somewhere.
Right.
And I literally felt my fingers bulge.
Like it was plugged into the wall.
Like one finger. Suddenly connects, it's all connected.
Yeah.
Remember, as Professor Marb, the learned Leftovian, says, all created is related. And that's so true within your own body.
Not just
out there in the universe.
You know,
it's like a big old quantum Jenga game there, Gav. But within your own frame, it is as well. Anyway, so I've gone to see him. And he's assured me that he's having record amounts of people. He says literally, normally 10% shoulders, mostly it's for limbs and back.
Right.
He says literally, well over 50% now coming in for shoulders. And
it's from box set use, you think?
No, it's not just from that. It's from people working where they're not used to working. So they're now working on a laptop on their knees, slumped forward.
Oh, on a table, different height to their work desk
gang,
or something. Yeah.
4 till 7, thank gang. You've got to watch this. All right. It's just really, really important. You work at a good level because that everyday working from say,
I'm working.
I might just have the laptop on my lap. Now leaning forward, that could stretch your trapezius at the back.
Yeah, you're risking everything. Yeah,
tightening the muscles around the deltoid cap and the upper pectorals, and that's trouble because that'll pull your shoulders forward.
Sure,
they'll just remember it's a universal joint. They're just looking to roll anyway. So you've really, it's so important. If you are experiencing trouble and you can get to see a physio, then either correct your posture, go online and have a look, or go and seek a bit of advice on this one.
Did your doctor need an assistant to get round your shoulder muscle? Because it's not easy.
It's funny you should say that, because really,
I mean, it looks like a football, your shoulder.
I know. I'm surprised.
It really does. Yeah.
He said it's the first time he actually couldn't find bone. But he said most people. He says you're a bone. Sorry. It's an island of bone floating on a sea of muscles.
Right.
So bones float on a sea of muscle.
Yeah.
But he says, in my case, it's just an ocean of muscle.
Wow.
With islands of muscle on that muscle.
Wow.
And then we had a real good chat about my body. It's really weird when a guy is just, you're lying there with a mask on and a guy is just looking at you, literally drinking in your body. And you know he wants to say, can you come and do some, demos for me with a crowd? Radio X. A wanted man spent 4 days hiding naked in a mangrove creek in the Northern Territory, Australia.
Yeah.
He's a wanted man, but he's recovering in a Darwin hospital yesterday after being rescued by fishermen. He's 40 years old, this guy. He was covered in mud, insect bites. Mm. He said he survived by eating snails in the crocodile-infested waters. I just think it should be an option for people facing jail.
What should? Just stay in the mangrove?
The mangrove. What do you want, a year, or do you want to take a month in
take
the mangrove? I'll take a month in the mangrove, mate. I'm just saying, yes, time would drag, but rather than just getting bored and festering in a cell,
it'd be a lot cheaper from the state.
If he can survive 4 days, work out what the maximum time is, give people the option. Mate, it'll take a month in the mangrove.
Oh,
trouble is, you're going to get your Australians who start to love it.
That's right.
I'll do longer than that, mate.
I'll do 6 months.
I'll go and do a bigger crime so they give me longer in the mangrove.
I'll do a whole year,
oh. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll just handle a month, oh, maxo.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
This is it, Gav. The perfect crime.
Go on.
Very simple story. Perfect crime, though, if you think about it from the point of view of the French policeman pursuing some wine thieves.
Right.
So they've gone in.
Yeah.
They've nicked £350,000 worth of, sorry, euros worth, which is pounds worth of wine.
Yeah.
From the Domaine de Rimsky Hotel in Saint-Jean-de-Trezy in Burgundy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So the hotel's wine list has got, obviously, it's got some tasty old Burgundy on there. So they've got, for instance, they've got the 2012 Romane Conti Grand Cru Monopole, which is priced at £16,000 a bottle.
Wow, $16,000 yes, the
yes,
bottle.
Yes.
Wow.
It's got 2011 vintage, same vineyard, 9,900. It's also, so anyway, they've got this big hall there, right?
Mm.
The thieves arrived at the hotel. 5:15 on Tuesday, they broke into the cellar, they made off with the bottles in a van, set off the fire alarm, that woke the proprietor, he gave chase in his own vehicle while calling the police, he wants his wine back, yeah?
Yeah.
So the police took up the pursuit, the thieves are in the back of the van, they started slinging wine at them.
Oh no.
Yes, at the police, which means, at one stage, the owner's then been told to go back to his hotel. The
police, we'll take care of this.
The police will handle this, I'm thinking, I bet they will. So the police now find themselves in a situation with a load of wine thieves.
Yeah.
They're French detectives. They're in a van full of nicked wine, and it's insured probably, but it's up to them to say exactly what was smashed on the road.
Well, already part of the story is the smashing, so yes, they've got a lovely cover there.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, no, that must have gone too... Funny, isn't it, how they only picked out the really expensive ones?
No, they threw the good stuff only.
Yeah, that's it.
They really chucked it on the road, yeah.
Really discerning thieves. It turns out they're just... What can I say? They know their wine.
That's probably a capital offence in France as well, isn't it? Wine thievery.
But you can imagine if I'm your superintendent and I'm on the phone to you and you're at the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, no, I'm the hotel.
I'm saying,
owner.
What happened to the wine?
No, I'm the hotel owner. No, I'm the hotel owner, Gav. You're the French detective. Okay. Just like we rehearsed it. God, because you can even cheese salad your own stuff. And I'm going. So where is my wine? They can't have smashed only the most expensive what bottles?
C'est tout, monsieur. C'est tout fini.
But just the most expensive ones. These are the only ones they seem to have destroyed.
Calmez-vous, monsieur. Calmez-vous.
There we go. That's Gav and I presenting. That's the 4 till 7 thing players present the telephone conversation.
The theatre of the mind.
Jeez, Gav. Work with me, love.
Listen up. 2020 was a shake-up. But on TikTok, you stepped up and gave it a swipe up. You cheered up. Geared up, teared up, you opened your mind up, and when it was easier to give up, you always kept your chin up. 2021, it starts with you. It starts on TikTok.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Radio X.
Rewind! For a tale of the tape, looking at your rigs, looking at your tapes. Johnny, my setup is an Amstrad Integra 2000 amp. Ooh, boo.
Ooh.
1976. Hooray. Plus, get this. We've got something in common here, Simon.
Go on.
Solarvox speakers. Very first speakers that I owned that I blew up.
I never knew about Solarvox.
Solarvox. Yeah. I blew those up playing Babylon's Burning by the Ruts.
With that heavy bass line.
I think so. That could have been my dad's ones. No, it was Babylon's Burning. But no, it's not the bass line. It's because at the end of Babylon's Burning, it just keeps going, Babylon's Burning, baby. Can you see? And you think that's going to tail off. No, not back in 78.
Just gets louder and
louder. They just thought, no, let's just keep building it up. Let's just blow up someone's hi-fi. To be fair, it always went unevenly as well. It was always one tweeter on tweeter. A tweety. What is it called?
A tweeter.
A tweeter on that side and a woofer on that side. And so it's always unbalanced. You always got on that side. And on the other side, it's like that. Anyway, Also, Amstrad cassette deck. Still using today. Simon, good luck to you. Bit unsure about the Solarvox. I'm sure that was like a Comet own brand. Gav, next up, please.
Gareth is saying that he had a Technics deck, which I did too. I'm guessing an SL 1210 Mark II.
It might not have been, Gav. Very few people had
those
back
in the
day.
He had that into a JVC amp and some Kef Coda 2 speakers.
Aristocrat.
An aristocrat.
I had Kefs. I never had the Coda 2s. That was a hell of a speaker. I had my sister's old Kef Celestes. When she moved up to, I think she moved up
Wharfdale,
to a Wharfdale. I think
yeah,
she moved up to a bigger Wharfdale, yeah. Or she might have gone down, actually, to the Kef Cantor. I've got a TDK tape trapped in my inherited Bang & Olufsen. Always Philips inside, nothing more than that. Remember
is it?
That?
Is that all it is? Just packaging?
Just Philips. Just Philips. In a nice box, isn't it? Anyway,
they
I can't.
Look great next to an Eames chair, though.
They do, yeah. I think the tape probably has bootleg hip hop recordings from the old Piccadilly 103. Damien in Stockport. Damien,
beautiful.
You are keeping it too real with that. I just love you. I love you for that. That was Terry Christian's one where he shone on that station, didn't he? Okay, Johnny, I had a TDK C120 with a full. Now, this is the only thing 120s. This is the only thing I'll give them exception for.
Okay, go on.
They were all right for a live double album and that you didn't want to run to two cassettes.
Yeah, one cassette.
And you could generally...
Yeah, get the lot on.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were no good for albums because you couldn't get an album on each side because an album was always more than 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So you couldn't quite do that anyway, so there's no point. Mind you, the 90s, you'd have to overlap the album over the... You have to go sort of two tunes on that side as well to make it really crap. What I used to do as a kid... Sorry, before I get on with this text.
Yeah.
What I used to do as a kid, when I was making my own tape compilations up, and obviously you can't do this anymore, what I used to actually do, I was just thinking about it, the memories flood back. I used to get the NME every week.
Yeah.
And I used to go in the back where all the T-shirt adverts were.
Yeah, all the merch ads.
And I used to have my scalpel, because I'm not artistic and couldn't do any artwork.
Right.
And I used to cut out the band logos from the T-shirt ads.
Superb.
Pick those up with a strip of sellotape, and that would go perfectly on the spines.
So you were trapping them in there, all laminated.
Yeah, all laminated. Sort of like a very poor man's laminate.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
poor man's laminate. And I used to have those on the spines
shaminated.
Of my cassettes. It used to look really good.
Excellent.
Especially if I had I had doubled up, but I could only really afford the TDK Ds. I can't stress more than that. Anyway, Johnny, I had a TDK C120, which we're allowing because it had a full 83 Whitesnake live in Luftfahrten.
Luftfahrten,
one side, and an interview with Tommy Vance and Sir David Coverdale on the other, when he declares the cover of Come and Get It. And it was painted out for America.
Yeah.
All this rammed through the Pioneer amp, the Pioneer AMF hi-fi amp, Wharfdale speakers with a separate tweeter mid and bass cones.
Wow, three-way hi-fi home speakers.
Fantastic.
With three ways.
Gav, what have we got? We've got a bit of time for this. Come on.
Lee and Wigan had a Hitachi subwoofer ghetto blaster.
Wow.
He loved it.
I loved carrying it
around thinking I was cool, trying the hip-hop moves, but more, looking back, I look more like a pensioner skidding on ice.
Yeah, right. That's
beautiful.
Lee and Wigan. I love this because this is some real good... I've got... Get ready, Detail fans.
Have we got some numbers coming?
Just fill your boots. No name on this, sadly, but here we go. Hi, TJ.
Yo.
I had an Iowa AD R450 playing through a Marantz PM351 amp into Kef Coda 3 speakers. I think that's the one my sister went to the Codas after I got the Celeste. Or did she have the Cantors? No, she had the Cantors, definitely. The tape deck was the fastest auto reverse in the world with a light detecting the clear tape so it could turn immediately as opposed to having to run to the end. That fraction of a second made such a difference.
Wow.
Men in mine have a Marantz preamp. Which I always... And you also had a Marantz a graphic equalizer.
Yeah.
Which actually, I've got to tell you, given the quality of the tape, did nothing. It did nothing more than a tone control. Yeah. Rewind for Tape Talk.
Radio X.
Okay, Gav.
Go on.
Here's the first bit of vaccine news. Well, inoculation news.
Yeah.
Scientists...
Mm.
At Swansea University, are creating a skin patch that will deliver vaccines without the need for a hypodermic needle.
Oh, that sounds like a
genius. It's a disposable silicone patch. It features micro needles. It's strapped or taped to a patient's arm for up to 24 hours. Now, I don't like that particularly because plasters and things have a habit of coming off anyway.
Yeah.
Except, weirdly, those plasters they put on you after you've had a blood test or something.
Because it's down forever.
Which hang around for years and leave this extraordinary mark so that everyone knows you've had a blood test. Looks at you like, hello. Oh.
So these are like sort of benevolent nicotine patches.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite clever.
It will also, but this the difference with this is I don't like the idea of it instantly because at least a doctor knows that's that done once right. they or a nurse once they've injected you.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, I don't know because it fell off after about eight must have been 18 hours. So you don't know if you got the old dosage.
I had it on my knee,
And it might have got a little bit wet.
And you don't know. It could
you don't
have been
know. You don't know.
Deleted.
There's no such thing as a Cockney doctor. There's no such thing as a Cockney doctor. Anyway, Gav.
God, we got that harmony nailed.
We nailed it, Gav. We are the new Chaz and Dave. Let's forget I ever said that.
Yeah, don't
The
say.
Patches could be available within 3 years. Again, please stop doing that to us. Just tell us if it's out next week.
Yeah, don't mention it otherwise.
Oh, great. 3 years down the line. Let's hope COVID hangs around long enough.
For them to really cash in on that.
What a relief. Here's what I want to know, though, Gav.
Yeah. Right?
Is why is it that everyone developing germ warfare and chemical weapons and presumably weaponizing things like flus and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Why don't they ever do anything good?
Yeah, very good point.
Why don't they create this chemical weapon that's great for your skin?
No more asthma.
Yes.
It'd be great, wouldn't it?
No, they've created this thing which means you can breathe really easy. They've created this thing which really moisturises and cleanses deep. They've created this new thing which just eliminates BO.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
They've created this new virus. Well, why are they always bad?
I know. Where's the good ones?
A good one.
Yeah, definitely.
It's something that actually cures the cold.
We just
stuck a so-called positive virus out there. We just stuck it out there and now no one's got a flu anymore because we just put this...
Everyone on the whole planet's now just got an extra yard of pace.
Yes.
That'd be fantastic.
They just put it out there. Something that just gives you amazing muscle. Then they've created it. No, Porton Down. Government scientists have been working on something that takes away cellulite.
Yes, it gives you
childbirth. Yeah,
you
right.
You just have to breathe in.
No, it's always got to be negative, hasn't it?
It's always got to spoil everything.
Because it's so easy to bring people down and to be negative. It's much easier.
So much
so
easier.
So can I just say to everyone listening at Porton now, buck your ideas up. Let's create some fiendishly cunning, positive chemical weapons, you know?
Yes. Yes. Cheer us up a bit.
Something that makes you breathe more easily.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God, right. Yes. A bit taller.
A new virus that makes people cleverer.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Do you know what, guys?
What?
I discovered something that takes corporate spying, if you like, corporate surveillance to a new level. The Chinese, yeah? You know I admire enormously. It's about 1.4 billion people, yeah?
Mm.
And they seem to hold their stuff together. I mean, I just think they're superb. I genuinely do. They don't mess around with voting, yeah? Whenever you hear people crying out for democracy, you know one thing that's behind it, yeah?
What?
It just means some greedy corporation wants to get in there and make a few quid, which they currently can't do with the corrupt regime that's incumbent.
Obviously, they want a different person to negotiate.
Yeah, no, it just means the reason we want democracy is someone goes, we'll pay you, then we can get the oil, and then we can get that. You know, not in the People's Republic, no, sir.
So what are they doing with surveillance?
No, you've got 115,000 state-owned businesses.
Whoa.
Well, sorry, partnered up.
Yeah.
What's genius about that? It's what we should be doing in Britain. Is if the Ministry of Defence partners up, or the state partners up with more businesses.
Yeah.
It means if you hack them or anything, you've now attacked the state. You
and
now declare war.
Sedition.
Yeah. That's the great thing. Plus it means...
Treason.
But if you've got a lot of people partnering up with the government,
yeah,
it also means you can use government resources in a spectacular way to further business agendas, like spying on others.
Go on, what are they doing with surveillance now?
Well, get this. This is the Chinese, for me, at their best. Yeah?
What are they up to?
This is why they're the people I just love the nation. I'm crazy for them. You ready? Cushions given to staff at a Chinese tech company.
Yeah.
Supposedly for their well-being. Good luck. I'd love you for this, guys. The neck.
Go on.
They were, in fact, surveillance devices that alerted management as soon as people weren't at their posts.
Oh, is that all?
They give them a load of cushions, just grass them up.
They're just grass cushions.
Yeah. One employee at Hebo Logistic Technology in Hangzhou said that she and others had initially welcomed the smart cushion. They're all pleased, all happy. Come on, you should know better.
Is there any sentimentality at all in China?
There's no room. It's like Stamford Bridge. There's no room for sentiment at the bridge or in China.
Or in the People's Republic. That's amazing.
Two places, no room for sentiment. We've got none down at the bridge. Literally. The player's played there like thousands of games. Comes back next week. He's been with Villa for a bit. He gets booed.
Whereas at Arsenal, all there is sentiment.
Yeah, it's all there is. Yeah. Anyway, one employee at Hebrew Logistic Technology in Hangzhou said she and others had welcomed the smarts cushion, which could monitor heart rate, breathing, fatigue and posture.
Oh my God.
And it also reminded anyone who stayed still for too long to move in their seat. Wow. How about that? But not leave the seat. But an office worker identified as Miss Wang wrote online she'd later been approached by a member of the human resources department after the cushion alerted them she was away from her desk.
God.
Yep. She asked why weren't you at your desk every morning between 10 a.m. and 10:30? She said the manager threatened to cut her bonus. Suddenly I felt I was stripped naked in the office to be surveyed and monitored every moment. It's a terrible feeling.
Wow.
Should have stayed at your desk, love. Honestly. No, it's a lazy cow. Pardon my language. Sorry about that. But she is. Stay at your desk, love. Do your bit for the People's Republic. We won't get on your back.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
Just to say, Gav.
Yeah.
I was just reading about an invention.
Yes. I love inventions.
Well, no, what I love is anyone that's still messing around, inventing smart stuff that'll charge your phone. That's so 90s.
It is. Yeah.
Looking for ways to charge your phone. No, it's just what? For festivals, it's perfect. Come on.
Yeah,
it is. Is it really worth investing all that money just for festivals? Most of us are near power slots and you've got a thing. It's not a big deal anymore.
No.
No, I tell you what I've invented. Something that'll charge your phone up so you never have to get this. Being caught out by a dead phone battery could soon be a thing of the past. It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Whoever's writing in the Times. Oh, Arthur Nyakpan. There's new smart clothes that'll charge your mobile as you're on the move. Gosh, how 90s.
It is. Nylon... They had those already in trainers, didn't they?
Yeah, of course they did. No, yeah, that's exactly it. Nylon fibres would produce electricity, known as, quote, swell power. What I love is when people are typing now, and it already sounds like old. You've found an old paper. Yeah, right.
Radio X.
This is the 4 till 7 thing on your Radio X. Hello there. Gavin, you right?
Very good.
Little Simon, are you right?
Yep.
Are you ready to go toe-to-toe for the first time this year?
Yeah.
You're thinking, what's he talking about? I tell you what I'm talking about. Play your chard, right? Well, some sort of house plant. I know chard isn't, but it sort of fits.
Right.
It's play your plants right.
Okay.
It's play your plants right. I've got a top 10 of house plants that have become increasingly popular over the lockdown period with an increase in internet searches. Get this, guys.
Yeah.
311%.
Wow.
Sorry. I'll round it up. 312%.
I think Little Si's going to have an unfair advantage here.
Well, because he's an indoor gardener.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It sounds like a terrible thing to say about him, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. The old indoor gardener. Right, here we go.
Go on.
I'm not even sure what it points to. Right?
I know.
He's an indoor gardener. Yeah. Just sounds he's quite an introverted person. Okay, here we go. So I've got your top 10 most popular houseplants. Let's play our charge rights. Okay, we're going to start with the aloe plant.
Flip a coin.
Sorry, heads or tails?
Heads.
It is heads. Do you want to go first or second, Gav?
I'll go first.
Good, excellent. We're starting with aloe plant, aloe vera.
Yeah.
Aloe vera. But is the prayer plant, which is Maranta Leuconura, is that more or less popular?
I'm going to say less, because there's a lot of aloes around. A lot of aloes.
Well, like aloe, don't they? It's also got practical use.
Sure.
But you're wrong.
Oh.
You're absolutely wrong.
Okay.
In fact, the prayer plant, much more popular. A little side, with the prayer plant.
Go on.
But do you think mother-in-law's tongue is more or less popular? I'm talking about the plant, of course. Oh,
blimey. More popular.
No, less popular. Less popular, I'm afraid. Not who's going to say, oh, I'd love a bit of mother-in-law's tongue there? Unless it's something they can regularly just abuse and shout at as soon as they get off the phone. Sort of vicariously take out revenge on the old girl. Right, Gav,
go on.
Do you think the string of pearls is more popular than the mother-in-law's tongue?
I think the pearls are more popular.
The Senecio Rolianus?
Yes, the Rolianus.
You're exactly right, Gav. They are a good deal more popular. Okay.
Go on.
But do you think the bird of paradise, the Strelitzia, very pompous. Nicola, like, always doing an Italian accent. I used to annoy my Latin teacher doing that. He goes, okay. They didn't speak like that, Vaughan. I go, how do you know? They do now. Go on, what you got, Gav?
I'm going to say the Strelitzias are more popular.
They are more popular. Well done, Gav. You're really, really nailing this.
Very popular in South Africa, those ones.
Okay, yeah. What about, are they?
Yeah. It's that one that looks like a bird's head.
Okay. Do you think the string of hearts is more popular than the Strelitzia, the bird of paradise?
Less popular.
You're wrong, Gav. It's more popular. Little sigh, we go to you.
Okay.
Cactus. Do you think Cactus is more popular? It doesn't say which one.
That, definitely. Cactus are really big.
Everyone's
exactly,
got those. Yeah.
Exactly right. Okay, but do you think Chinese money plant is more popular than cactus?
Oh, yes.
More no, popular. No, it's not. I lured you in because you're thinking,
yes, because Chinese things are very popular. Yeah, money is success.
I know,
money.
Don't you think of it? Just think cactuses, you've seen those.
Yeah.
You should have just done it that way. Right, we're on the Chinese money plant.
Go on. Yep.
But do you think the peacock plant is more or less popular than the Chinese money plant?
I'm going to go more popular.
It is more popular.
Given how beautiful it must be being called a peacock plant.
It is. It's the... Fun enough, it's the Calathea sandariana.
Oh,
Calathea sandariana. Okay, but Gav, do you think Dracaena trifasciata, the old snake plant, is more or less popular than the peacock plant? This to win the game.
Less popular.
No, little Simon,
oh,
you've
no!
won it. Snake plant is the number one most popular plant. I hope you enjoyed playing that as much at home as the lads enjoyed playing that here. It really was a fraught encounter. So I've never done one before where neither of you, apart from you've seen one in South Africa.
That's it, yeah.
And he knows what a cactus
is. Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about all we knew.
It's literally it, yeah.
Do either of you know what a Chinese mother in law...
Actually, I do know that one.
I know what a mother-in-law's tongue looks like.
Oh, that's two we know.
But that's it, only
String
those two.
String of pearls?
No.
No.
Bird of Paradise?
No.
Aloe plant. We know aloe plant.
Yeah.
String of Hearts?
No.
No.
Prayer plant?
Not a chant.
Peacock plant?
No.
Cactus? Yes. Yeah. Snake plant? Number one?
No.
No, we don't know what it is. Let's look it up during this tune. Here's a tune. Let's all find out what a snake plant is.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
You're right there, Gav.
Yeah, really good.
I was just looking online about this jobless graduate.
Yes.
This is a guy, Jack Verheg.
Uh-huh.
And I presume he's Dutch with
right.
a name like that.
Yeah, but it must be, yeah.
As part of the grand tradition of sort of Dutch ultra-realism,
yeah.
this guy, what he does pencil drawings
uh-huh.
that are so good.
Photoreal, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
They look just like photos.
Yeah.
So he's done like the Coca-Cola can, one of those waving cats,
right.
Like a bottle.
Yeah.
And it's not, and yet, literally, you have to say to people, look up close, that's a drawing.
Yeah. They're amazing, those drawings.
I know. What's the point?
I know. Just take a picture.
What's the point?
they take weeks.
Yeah,
as well.
But just what's the point? And you end up with something that looks like a photograph. And people go up and they go, look. And people go, Christ, no, get the magnifying glass out. You see, it's actually a drawing. But what's the point of that?
I know.
It's like having sort of like a magician permanently poised in your house.
It wasn't a problem that needed fixing.
No. I didn't need something that looks like a photograph but isn't in my life.
No.
And the art world doesn't either. I don't... Anyway, sorry, Jack. But,
well done anyway.
But well done, Jack. I'm, you know, you carry on with your Karen Dashes. But the rest of us will either get photographs or a decent painting.
Yep.
But I tell you something we won't be doing.
What?
Bothering with...
This
drawings
rubbish.
That look like photographs.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You'll get the 4-7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. Look, I'm not expecting Moyles-y numbers here.
No.
Christ knows how he's done it, but he's managed to. I mean, his podcast figures are insane. But if we can have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Like
Christ,
like a tenth.
And actually, do you know what? It's not even any point saying it now, because if they're listening now, they've got it. I should do this on the show. Goodbye.